Please pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of Thee. Amen. Please be seated. From time to time, I seem to unpack with you my experience at St. George's College in Jerusalem 4 years ago. Now, I'm making a plug for Father Ray's Holy Land trip in September, and if you missed the information meeting that was before this service, he's having another one Wednesday night, so don't miss going to the Holy Land, whether or not you can take this trip. Now, one of the fellow pilgrims with whom I shared this trip was a dear French-Canadian young man by the name of Stéphane. Stéphane was born with a physical disability that made traversing the cobblestone pathways on that trip rather challenging. But Stéphane was also born with a sweet spirit that seemed to lighten everyone's load around him in a can-do attitude that put the rest of us to shame as we melted in the triple-digit temperatures of July Middle East. Stéphane and I were visiting on the rooftop of St. George's College the evening after we spent the afternoon at the famous and very holy Western Wall. This is that tiny segment of the ancient Temple Mount built by Herod the Great that is available to visitors. The same Temple Mount that Jesus walked across to enter and worship in the temple. Now, it is a holy site of all three Abrahamic faiths. The Muslims have built an exquisite mosque on the ruins of the Temple Mount, while below the faithful, predominantly Jewish men and women, gather to pray along the walls of the mount itself. We had taken our turn at that place of prayer that afternoon, first standing in line to go through extremely tight security, and then we gathered with the crowd, pressing forward for a time of prayer at the wall, women on the right separated from the men on the left. Stéphane quietly told me about his experience that afternoon. When space became available at the wall, he moved forward, placing his forehead against the ancient stone blocks and began pouring his heart out in prayer, asking the Lord's help with very specific needs. After some time, he and another of our fellow pilgrims moved away from the wall to allow others to draw near for prayer. As they moved toward the location where our group had agreed to meet, an earnest and persuasive man asked to speak with them and motioned them back to a quiet place near the wall. This man began telling Stéphane that the Lord had a message for him, and he began to tell Stéphane in detail of the Lord's promises for him. Amazingly, they were the very same issues Stéphane had just silently prayed about at the wall. Now, Stéphane never shared with any of us what his specific prayer needs were that day or later, but 4 years later, I wonder if they were fulfilled as this mouthpiece of the Lord said they would be. These kind of things haven't happened to me personally. I don't know about you. Maybe you've been approached by a prophet sometime in your life. Nor does God speak to me audibly as God did to Samuel in our Old Testament reading. Here we have young Samuel woken in the middle of the night by a voice calling out his name. He assumes it is his master, the priest Eli. No doubt Eli would call upon Samuel day and night for his assistance or for his training in the ways of being a priest. But it took a few times of being awakened by the eager to please Samuel before Eli realized that it must be the Lord calling the young boy. Once Eli gives him instructions on what to do and say, it seems that the floodgates opened and God tells Samuel all kinds of things. For at that moment, Samuel's ears and heart were opened and attuned to the voice of God so that he continued to hear God for the rest of his life. Seems that all Samuel needed to do was say the right words. Speak, for your servant is listening. And he had a hotline to God. For most of us, it doesn't work out quite that easy, does it? I know that for most of my life, I felt inadequate when people would say, God told me this, or God told me that. God wasn't really telling me anything, I thought. So I just prayed and tried to do the best I could, making the best decisions I could for that given moment. And that's okay. But how do I know that I'm doing the will of God and not just my will? For I want to be following God's will for my life. What I grew to understand is that God is communicating with us all the time. And it is up to us to develop the skill to discern God's voice, just as Samuel learned to discern the voice of God from that of his master Eli. For discernment is a process by which we attune ourselves to the Spirit of God. It is a commitment to stay connected to God and to God's guidance on our life's journeys. That commitment is seen by a life deeply rooted in prayer and in seeking to examine the joys and challenge of our lives so as to grow in awareness of God's quiet working in and through our lives. That is how most of us hear God. It is by crafting an attentive awareness to gain wisdom from our lives' experiences. The ability to discern the voice of God is the fruit of observation and reflection gathered over the years as we reflect and pray over the successes and failures, the joys and sorrows, to glean the lessons embedded in each of these seemingly disparate experiences. As Wilkie and Noreen Awe artfully describe discernment, we cannot create the wind of the Spirit, they write. All we can do is set up the sail of our lives so that when the mysterious wind of the Spirit sweeps in, we can receive it and let our lives be powered by grace. Discernment is a combination of head work and heart work. It is the old-fashioned double column of pluses and minuses, but with a new twist. Rather than populate those columns with what we might think are the positives and negatives for us, we instead look at those things that will allow us to live more deeply into our identity in Christ. Or we look at what would allow us to be given to others as was Christ. Or we consider what option would bring about God's reconciling love with all of those around us. That's the head work of discernment. So how about the heart work? Well, that's just prayer and more prayer and crafting an open and attentive heart to begin to see the patterns of God's work in and through our lives. Why invest in constructing a life of ongoing discernment, you might ask? Well, for me, I want to hear Jesus when he calls on me to follow him, just as he did Philip and Nathaniel in our gospel reading today. For I want to be a follower of Jesus in all areas of my life. I want to be, as Presiding Bishop Michael Curry has touted, I want to be part of the Jesus movement in our day and in our time. Being a part of the Jesus movement doesn't necessarily require us to give up everything and follow Jesus as did the disciples Jesus called long ago in Galilee. But it does require us to give up our pursuit to live comfortable lives and to open ourselves to God's call on our lives lived in this particular moment in history and in this particular place. God has need of you to bring about the work of building God's kingdom as uniquely experienced here at St. Paul's in downtown Waco. Can you hear him calling you?